Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
I just went through a two-year period in 2020, maybe 2021, where every time I came down pit road, I was terrified. I was like, please just only lose one spot. Like, you know, it was bad for a really long time. And so it's just finally has turned the page and we're going the other way now.
Every time you went to a Martinsville race, and especially when I started getting in the garage and have access through family, you know, friends and people like that, I would always watch in turn one. And those cars would come by and hit the chip, and they would set so nicely on the brakes. And they would always be P1 or P2 off the truck. So you knew, like, Hendrick cars in Martinsville, that was what you wanted to drive. Anyone would say that, I think.
Greetings. Welcome to the NASCAR and NBC podcast. I'm your host, Nate Ryan. With seven cup races in the books, NASCAR is in the meat of its early short track season, and Denny Hamlin is riding a two-race winning streak. This week, the Premier Series will head to Martinsville Speedway, where the Virginia native is best among active drivers with five victories. Last month, Hamlin sublimely saved his tires to earn his fourth victory at Bristol Motor Speedway, which delivered one of the more unusual tire management races in the track's long history. This past Easter Sunday, Hamlin won for the fifth time at his hometown track of Richmond Raceway, in another milestone race. For the first time in its 76-year history, NASCAR started an oval race with wet weather tires. After an early evening rain, the 0.75-mile track went from damp to dry quickly, and teams changed to slick tires and competitive pit stops after 40 laps. It was a relatively straightforward strategic race for Richmond after that, until the caution flag flew for a Kyle Larson spin just before Martin Truex Jr. took the white flag. With a swift pit stop under yellow, Hamlin went from third to first and then held off Truex in overtime, thanks to some hard racing with his Joe Gibbs Racing teammate.
Home track win for Hamlin in the Toyota Owners 400 crash in turn one. As Larson and Truex got together again after the flag.
Man, Martin's mad at everybody.
Hamlin gets his 53rd career win, 13th on the all-time win list.
It's marked quite a reversal of fortune for Hamlin, whose number 11 Toyota pit crew went through seemingly constant reshuffling a few years ago. Now it's regarded as perhaps the best in the Cup Series.
Davey Siegel with SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. To the point of what you said about your pit crew, how satisfying is it for you to know that literally the numbers bear it out? Whenever you come down, you're probably not going to lose anything. You're likely going to gain something. And in a situation like tonight, to your point, they kind of won you this thing.
Yeah, they did. Tonight was them for sure. And I feel like I just went through a two-year period in 2020, maybe 2021, where every time I came down pit road, I was terrified. I was like, please just only lose one spot. Like, you know, it was bad for a really long time. And so it's just finally has turned the page and we're going the other way now. So, you know, these guys have been together for, I think, three consecutive years now. They were on Martin's team, you know, a few years ago, but they were young and they were making a lot of mistakes that first year. And, you know, the pit crews and the drivers got together and they wanted to make changes. And so I ended up with those guys at really the right time, right when they were starting to all click on all cylinders. So, you know, I was certainly torn because, you know, it looked like Martin was going to win. When the caution came out, I wasn't crazy overjoyed because I always think about all the bad times on pit road, and I'm thinking, well, man, I just had a good finish, and now we're, you know, we have an opportunity to go backwards. But I knew that if I maximized my job on pit road, and there's so many metrics that go into being good yellow line to yellow line on pit road. The pit crew is definitely a big part of it, but me as a driver doing my job with my pit road speed, how I enter the box, how I exit the box, all that really mattered. And I knew about halfway through the stop when they dropped the jack on the right side in about 3.5 seconds, I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be a fast one. So I knew it was going to be really close, and I knew at that point, just don't stall the car. That was the only, that would have been the most embarrassing thing that I possibly could have done, is take the win from them if I made that kind of mistake. But then, you know, we still got to race it out on the green-white checkered. So this is certainly the new age NASCAR of how you can win races, because it is so equal on the racetrack that, you know, really the pit crew is the ones that really make a difference when everyone's running the same speed.
Pit stops have been an integral part of Cup Series performance and results for more than 30 years, but the boundaries are being pushed as never before. In his excellent Friday 5 column last week that you can check out on NBCSports.com, Dustin Long explored the new frontier of the 7-second four-tire pit stop. When the next-gen car was introduced 2 years ago, the Joe Gibbs Racing pit crews initially tried using unconventional choreography for the new single-lug pit stops. After their win at Richmond, both Hamlin and his crew chief Chris Gabehart addressed how the team has found its stride since last year.
Matt Weaver, Sportsnet. For both of you guys, provide me some insight into what makes your over-the-wall guys so week in and week out consistently, like clearly so much better than everyone else's. Is there something in the preparation or skill set?
Yeah, I mean, I think just from my standpoint, you know, these guys have had time to mesh. They've had a few years now working together. You know, the whole pit crew department is really went through a lot of changes over the last couple of years, and it's starting to show fruit. You know, my team, you know, I was looking at kind of the average ages of all the pit crews, and mine is definitely on the lower end when you average all their ages up. But for them to now be on top of their game and be young, at the top already, and you know, who knows how far they can go. So it's just, there's a lot to it when you can get some, you know, get people working together. And, you know, it's no different than mine and Chris's relationship. Just over time, you get to understanding each other, you know, their next move. And, you know, and I think that certainly with a pit crew that's got a lot of choreographed stuff that they have to do, and everyone's watching each other's toes and not stepping on each other, you know, having that group working together for so long, it's starting to show what it can do.
Joe Gibbs Racing took a path in the Gen 7 era that just honestly didn't work. And at a sports top level, when you fall behind and there's constant improvement being had by all the top teams, it's difficult to catch up. And there's a chance you won't. So I can't brag on the pit department enough. All the management at Joe Gibbs Racing and the guys, all the athletes, not just my athletes, for buying in to the work and the effort that was going to have to be put forth to catch up. Really what I want to speak to is the intangibles, because that's where magic happens. It's people that believe that they can do more than they can as individuals. And my team, not just my pit crew, my team, they pull the rope selflessly. They know they got each other's backs. There's, you know, if you have a bad play or a mistake, everybody's there to pick them up. How can we help you be better? What do you need? And that's the special part. You see it in sports, all different types of sports. And this group has all of the makings to put up the kind of numbers that they're putting up. And it's just so fun to watch them have fun. And again, that's the, you know, 18 people I have on my roster, and just to watch the pit crew, get to win a race like that. That's their walk-off home run. It doesn't get any better than that for a pit crew to win it like that. So it's just a joy to watch everybody work like this together.
Richmond wasn't uniformly harmonious for Joe Gibbs Racing, though. Truex was unhappy with Hamlin afterward, rear-ending his teammates several times after believing Hamlin first had jumped the restart and then had squeezed him through the first two turns. NASCAR Senior Vice President of Competition Elton Sawyer said the restart had been reviewed and deemed close but legal, with Hamlin having the edge of being the control car. Hamlin also defended getting a jump on the final green flag.
Bob Hocker, Fox Sports. Denny Martin said he felt like you jumped the restart. I'm curious, NASCAR said that you didn't. What is the strategy in trying to go right there, right when you can?
Yeah, I mean, I went right at it for sure. I did that because I saw those guys rolling to me. You know, the 22 was laying back. The 19 was rolling a couple miles an hour quicker than I was. So I wasn't going to let them have an advantage that my team earned on pit road. So certainly made sure I, you know, once my nose got there, I took off right away. But still, you know, we were side by side and down the water into turn one.
Truex also slammed into Larson after the checkered flag. But in speaking to Zach Catanzaretti and other reporters, Truex said there were no hard feelings, while chalking much of his actions up to frustration.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, it's happened to us a few times at Richmond here. So, you know, lead the whole race and then some dumbass move brings out a caution with, you know, coming to the white flag and ruins our whole night. So it was unfortunate, but honestly, just awesome job by my team. And, you know, Auto Owners Camry was a rocket. It was, you know, something we've had here in the past. And, you know, unfortunately, this has happened to us a few times. So come in with the lead, go out second, you know, to the fastest pit crew on pit road is it's a tough one to swallow, but I feel like, you know, we still got to have a race for it, but just got used up in turn one on the restart. Yeah, I mean, I felt like 11 used me up down there in turn one, and you know, so I didn't really appreciate, you know, a teammate racing me like that. I wish he would have you know, gave me a chance, but yeah, that's the way it is. And then yeah, the five just he bumped me in the, you know, drove in the side of me in one and two, and I got a little loose down the backstretch. I don't know if my left rear was going down or what, and I kind of slammed into him. No big deal.
Larson also was ready to let it be bygones with Truex.
A lot of rubbing, a lot of marks on yours and the 19 car. What happened between you two?
I think he was just mad, you know, like he was mad that the 11 used him up on the restart. That's probably where it really started from. And then, you know, the 22 got to his inside 1-2. I got in behind the 22 and he just turned left across my nose and had me up on the apron off of 2. And then I don't know if he thought that I just piled it in there, but then he door slammed me down the middle of the backstretch. So, you know, I just figured in 3 and 4, I was going to use him up a little bit. So I think he just is more mad at Denny, but I was the closest one to take his anger out on. So I'm sure I haven't seen a replay either, but I'm guessing the replay looks the way I kind of saw it 1 and 2, and then he'll realize that and probably be all right. You know, Martin's one of the most, probably the most respected guy in the garage area. So I was surprised when he turned left on me down the backstretch and then again after the checkered, but it's all good. I hope he doesn't have any hard feelings to me because I definitely don't towards him. Like I said, I got a lot of respect for him.
It was an eventful ending for Larson, who still managed to finish third despite the late incident. Just after receiving an apology from Bubba Wallace for being spun, Larson explained his side to reporters.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good.
Whatever's coming my way, I know it's high stakes.
Obviously, I'd be pissed off right now if I would have fully spun and you would have finished in the 20s or whatever, but like he said, I had some good karma today and he had the bad karma for me.
No, just good fortune, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know how to describe it. Just got lucky that, you know, I had room to spin and you know, thankfully I was hoping the grass wasn't going to be too slick. And I kind of got it pointed somewhat straighter when I got to the grass, so that helped me get going. So just, yeah, thank my lucky stars. I would have been pissed off if I would have fully spun, and his comment or his apology probably wouldn't have mattered as much right now, but I would have eventually gotten over it. But, you know, it's because I kept going straight and, you know, he came up, whatever, it's good. So we've had our run-ins, and I don't think tonight was anything intentional.
Credit to NBC Sports' Zach Catanzaretti for capturing that post-race sound that you just heard of Larson and Martin Truex Jr. Zach was covering the entire Richmond weekend, and he had the chance to catch up with three of the under 30 drivers in the Cup Series And I bring in now Zach to the NASCAR on NBC podcast. Zach, thanks for doing some interviews at Richmond for us. We're going to start with the interview of the most experienced of the three drivers that you interviewed, Stewart Haas Racing's Chase Briscoe. So tell us about that interview.
Well, Chase is a really interesting guy. I mean, he's racing for one of what I would call one of the more compelling team-wide stories to follow this year, and that's Stewart Haas Racing. They have two new drivers, of course, this year, one being a rookie in Josh Berry. They're coming off a couple really difficult seasons overall as an organization. Kevin Harvick went winless in two of the last 3 years there. So that's where the questions arise, right? Like, what can these new drivers bring to SHR and bring them back to where they were for many years in the Cup Series? And in doing so, many believe that these new guys, they need a leader behind the wheel. And it's very commonplace for NASCAR teams to have a leader who's the more competitive or the more experienced driver. And all eyes kind of went to Chase Briscoe for this year. And he's kind of been emerging as that leader for this team. And you think about it, he is the most tenured driver at SHR. He understands the culture, the processes of how they personally do things in that shop. And he's been in the same number 14 Ford since this whole next gen era began. And he's had solid success in spurts, right? You know, not consistently that he would like, but it has been there in certain ways. And so in speaking with Chase, I was very curious to learn more about that leadership mindset. Turns out he has kind of a different idea of what makes a leader for a race team, but also with Chase specifically, where his career is heading. Like, this is an option year for Chase at SHR that we learned. The pressure is certainly there. And frankly, he didn't shy away from stating that this is a critical year for him, not just for his future at SHR, but in the sport entirely. I definitely wanted to ask him about this extra aggression that we've seen from him. He was such a show at Atlanta, you know, a few weeks ago. And turns out there's a little more story behind that. The progress is there. And as Chase told me, Tony Stewart's watching. You know, he may be far away over in the NHRA land, but he checks in every so often and he's monitoring the progress and he's liking what he's seen so far.
All right. Well, lots of good nuggets that you got there, Zach. So let's take a listen now to what Chase Briscoe had to say about his new driving approach, Tony Stewart, and why this is such a critical season for the Indiana native.
I think there's a lot of different things you can gauge it off of, but definitely I think the results are what matters most at the end of the day on Sunday. But, you know, for us, we've been able to measure a lot of different things. I feel like just that's been improved. You know, even if you look at qualifying, you know, we've just qualified inside the top 10 a lot and things like that that we never really did last year. So I feel like it's been a huge improvement from what we had last year, but there's still definitely a long way to go. But definitely making, you know, gains on it for sure.
Briscoe has two teammates this year, with Noah Gragson and Josh Berry joining second-year driver Ryan Preece, and their working relationship has improved the team's communication and competitiveness.
As a whole company, we've been more competitive this year than we were last year as a whole, as far as the collective group of four of us. And yeah, as far as working with them guys, it's been awesome. It's honestly probably been the most the four drivers have ever talked amongst each other at Stewart Haas. You know, we're around each other a lot and just have a good chemistry. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun from that side. You know, I feel like that, you know, that's definitely some of the reason why you see us all running a little bit better is just the drivers have worked together more. And then also the teams have worked together more just because I think they see the drivers working together more, which is something that we've never really had at Stewart Haas. Yeah, I wouldn't say it feels like a startup team. It feels like I just moved to another established team. Like, it just feels different. Like, even when you go to the shop, just the vibe in the building is different, I would say. And some of that's kind of not been the same as it was 6 weeks ago, but it's still, you know, definitely different than what we had last year. So, yeah, it's definitely a different dynamic. You know, just even the team meetings, things like that, everything that I've been so used to the last 3 years have been totally different this year, just with how it's structured and how, honestly, even the personalities are different, just with the guys that we have as teammates now versus what I've had in the past. So it's like going to a different team for sure. It's still a lot of the same familiar faces, but just the attitudes and just, you know, just the processes of how we do things, even just at the shop, you know, the structure of kind of who's in charge has been kind of different. Like, everybody has different bosses now at the shop just because it's all ran totally different in our processes. So it's been a lot to get used to, but I feel like everything that we've changed has been an improvement and, you know, been a positive for sure.
In the preseason, team owner Tony Stewart laid down the law for his group after two disappointing years and said changes would be coming if the results didn't improve. Briscoe says the message was received by Stewart Haas Racing, even if the progress remains ongoing.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I definitely think that we're not near where we want to be still. And you know, Tony wants us to win races and be battling for championships. And truthfully, right now, we're still not good enough to win races. I feel like when we do everything perfect, we're kind of a 7th, 8th place car. So we still have a lot that we need to do to get better. But, you know, honestly, last year, if we would have ran 15th, that was a great day. So for us right now to be running 10th to 13th kind of every week is encouraging. But there is still, I would say, some frustration just knowing that we still kind of have a lot more to find. But, you know, we just got to try to stay positive and realize that those top 10s are going to turn to top 5s, and eventually those top 5s will turn into wins. So, yeah, we just got to get a little bit closer. You know, I would say that's the biggest thing is right now we're 85% where we need to be, but last year we were probably not even 60% where we needed to be. So we've seen the improvement. You know, I can't speak for Tony, but I feel like he's seen the improvement as well. But there's still, you know, like I said, just a long way to go.
Even while racing full-time in the NHRA, Stewart has been checking in this year.
Yeah, I heard from him a couple weeks ago. I want to say it was the Phoenix week. We had just a really solid week, and even the Atlanta race, and we were up front a lot. He had texted after and just said, hey, man, like that was a really solid weekend from start to finish. The last couple weeks, I haven't really heard from him, but he's been so busy doing the drag racing stuff. They're kind of in their kickstart of their season. So, yeah, you know, if we have a good weekend, he definitely reaches out, lets us know that we're doing a good job. And then if we have a super bad weekend, he'll obviously let us know too. So, yeah, last week I felt like as a company, you know, it was kind of a letdown. And, you know, in our competition meeting, it was definitely addressed that, hey, we got to be a lot better than that.
Sometimes that vocal leader now needs to be Briscoe. He has been thrust into the role of SHR's longest tenure driver with the exits of Kevin Harvick and Eric Almirola. And the role comes at a critical juncture for Briscoe, who confirmed he is in a contract year.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been totally different from that aspect. Just not having Kevin and Eric, you know, they were always going to be above me no matter what I did. You know, just from an experience standpoint. And now being the longest tenured guy there, you know, I still don't feel like that just automatically makes you the leader. But, you know, the reason that Kevin Harvick steered the ship of Stewart Haas Racing was because he ran the best week in and week out. So, for me, that's kind of been my biggest focus, is just be the best running car every week and try to you know, outperform the other guys. And, you know, obviously if I can't win, I want to see them win. But, you know, I need to be the best running car every week I can. And so far we've been able to do that. And I feel like, you know, whenever you do those things and do it consistently, then you just naturally kind of become the leader. And, you know, I think just from the start of the season, I've been trying to be the leader off the track as far as, you know, just how to be a good teammate, you know, how to race each other on the racetrack. You know, those are all things that, you just being the longest tenured guy, you need to do that because those new guys coming in, they don't know how we do it here and they don't know what the processes are. So I've been trying to be really, you know, disciplined about making sure I do the right thing, you know, showing them guys how we're supposed to race each other, because truthfully at Stewart Haas, it's something that we were terrible at my entire career there until this year. We just would race each other harder than probably everybody else on the racetrack. So yeah, I feel like all those things have been good and I've been trying to be more of a leader. And I definitely feel like I have more of a voice than I've ever had. So definitely feel like it's kind of all coming together. I do think you try to think about the long term and just knowing that, you know, at least for me, I feel like this is a huge year for where my career is going to go. If I struggle this year, I could honestly, I feel like fizzle out of the Cup Series or even NASCAR in general. And, you know, if I go and run good and show my worth, then, you know, this is one of those years where I feel like always in the Cup Series, guys, when they're in their third, fourth year in the series, that's where they really kind of determine what crossroad they're at. And, you know, I'm at that point where I'm not a rookie anymore. I'm not inexperienced. I need to go out there and show that I can run good on a weekend basis. So, yeah, it's a option year for them. So, you know, it's up to them if they want to keep me or not. So, I mean, that definitely adds to it, too. You have to go and show your worth week in and week out. But, yeah, I mean, I've been super happy with, you know, being here. Obviously, I've been a Ford driver at Stewart Haas for nearly 5 years now, so it's kind of been like home to me. But yeah, I definitely have to go show my worth, I feel like, and, you know, go prove to them that, you know, I'm worth having in the car, because there's a lot of great race car drivers out there. So that's definitely, I feel like a lot of it too is just that long term, you know, trying to show that I want to be here and show that, you know, I'm capable of being here too.
With his future in mind, Briscoe also says he's looking at his past in bringing a new, more assertive attitude on track for the 2024 season.
Yeah, I would say the aggression just comes from last year. You know, I was you know, truthfully not in great cars. You know, it was no secret that our stuff kind of struggled, and, you know, I probably didn't race as hard as I should have been, and just knowing that, you know, a lot of those days I wasn't going to be in the mix. So, you know, when I was in the mix, I was trying to take full advantage of it and extremely aggressive. And, you know, this year I would say I've been more aggressive than ever. Just, you know, if you look at the Cup Series, I feel like the guys that are successful and win all the time are the most aggressive drivers on the racetrack. And, you know, there are some exceptions. You know, I don't feel like Denny is necessarily super aggressive on the racetrack, but you look at, you know, Ross Chastain or Joey Logano or guys like that, you know, they're extremely aggressive, whether they're racing for the win or they're racing for 15th. And that's kind of the mentality I've kind of came with this year is, you know, I got to be 100% every single lap, and I feel like that's where a lot of that comes from.
Okay, so those are the thoughts of Chase Briscoe. Zach, you also spoke with the Spire Motorsports rookies, Carson Hocevar and Zane Smith, about their first full seasons in Cup.
Yeah, and look, frankly, for a small team in the Cup Series, Spire Motorsports surely gets a lot of press, right? And they get a lot of attention, and it's for good reason. We've seen them expand into the Truck Series. They're winning regularly this season with multiple drivers, multiple trucks. And we've seen them improve year over year on the Cup side, particularly with Corey LaJoie, who's made Spire his growing home for many years now. But on the same side, you know, we've also seen them receive attention by hiring some of the top prospects in NASCAR racing. And that's where Carson Hocevar and Zane Smith come into this conversation. You know, the two kids who are fresh graduates from the Truck Series, Smith being a champion a couple years ago, and Hocevar having a breakout season last year where we saw him in victory lane numerous times. And even before the season began, we knew that they had Cup level talent. Zane Smith, through multiple teams, ran top 20 in Cup races, and particularly last year, scored a top 10 in the Coca-Cola 600 for front row, and he's partnered with Trackhouse Racing now. And for Carson, he wowed the industry last summer at Gateway, running well inside the top 20 on his debut for Spire. And that was a short time he had to prepare for that, of course, with Corey LaJoie going into the 9 car for Chase. And Carson said that race at Gateway, when he took over that 7, he said that made Spire Motorsports feel like a real race team. And, you know, they felt like that they could have anybody come in and have speed right off the bat. And with these two guys, good momentum coming in. Can't sugarcoat it. It has been not very smooth sailing for these guys in 2024. So I was very curious to hear their updates on these first, you know, half a dozen races and how it's affected them, and also how the Spire team is helping them grow so far in the Cup Series.
Thanks again, Zach, for doing these interviews for the NASCAR NBC podcast. We'll take a listen to both of these Spire Motorsports drivers now. We'll start with Carson Hocevar, and then you'll hear from Zane Smith.
I feel like we've had a solid outing. We haven't had a race that's gone 100% smooth, so to still have the results we've had is, I think, really, really big. You know, Daytona, we had issues. I mean, just all of them. We've had some sort of issue that either puts us at the back or takes us out that we're having to fix damage, and no real our own doing. You know, some maybe a little bit self-inflicted with like pit penalty or something, but a lot of times it wasn't self-inflicted. And we're able to overcome and adapt, and that's what a good race team is able to do. And we've had a lot of speed, which has also helped us be able to bounce back. It's come by pretty quickly, and I know it will, and I think it'll only speed up from now on. So I already, you know, kind of when I walked into Phoenix a few weeks ago, knew we'd be at November, you know, walking into the final race before I knew it. So just trying to enjoy it and, you know, take every opportunity to, you know, embrace these moments and just have fun while we compete.
Hocevar said his welcome to Cup moment came early in the Daytona 500 with the dual qualifying race. He also discussed how he and teammate Zane Smith are learning through taking the lumps together.
You know, run fourth in the duel and, you know, just somehow get taken out lap five or six, you know, just none of our own doing, just car gets spun next to us, and that's day over. And you know, you feel really good starting first ever Daytona 500 in the top 10 after finishing top 5 in the duel. And reminder that this sport is very humbling very quickly, and anything can happen at any point, and it obviously did. Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, I think he's just, you know, taking it as I am. You know, this stuff's hard, and when you don't have everything go right, You know, things compound very quickly, and I think we're both, you know, rookies and new at this, and no, we don't, you know, have to set the world on fire, and you know, we have plenty of years to figure it out and know that, and I think we're just trying to enjoy it and, you know, just develop our craft a little bit and be able to, you know, 2-3 years down the line, laugh about these moments now and be able to, you know, really see the, you know, reap the reward here shortly. I mean, I've gotten 100% out of these things, I felt like, since I've gotten in at Gateway the first time. So, I mean, I feel like I've never gotten to a race car and not found the limit. So I'm pretty on the go switch, I guess you could say.
The 2024 season has been described as a leap of faith into Cup for Hosovar, who bypassed Xfinity after being a winner in the Truck Series. He was swayed by the upswing at Spire Motorsports, which moved into the former Kyle Busch Motorsports shop during the offseason.
You know, I just could see the path. You know, they obviously had a lot more investment, a lot more tools, resources. You know, they were getting a new building, more trucks on their stable on Fridays to, you know, feel good going into Sundays. And obviously, you know, they've won 3 already. So, you know, they've only lost 1 or 2 now, and they've been super fast. So, I mean, that just helps the morale as the shop. And, I mean, just there's a lot of good things. I mean, great people from management all the way down, and, you know, just a super good work environment that, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to consider for me. It was a easy decision, and felt like the potential was definitely here to run really well, and this car allows that for sure. And you know, just allowed a lot of progression to be able to continue to grow for years to come. Well, I mean, for the goal for this year is definitely Rookie of the Year, but I think for us, I mean, I think, you know, we have years to develop this deal, and you know, I'm at least here for more than a year, so that's huge for me, and the pressure that it puts myself and my team under, that, you know, we can go compete at, you know, and know we can build on something for sure into next year. But more than anything, I mean, you know, normally you need 2 or 3 years before you really click. Even if you got into a top tier ride, you know, they kind of give you 2 or 3 years to kind of figure it out. And, you know, this team, you know, is still growing. So, I mean, that year progression will only get bigger. And you're developing yourself and the team and gelling it. So, I think, you know, it's all long term here.
And while he grows into a Cup level driver, Hosovar is pleased that he is getting a lot of autonomy and input into Spire's development as well. The team has put a lot of trust into the 21-year-old's potential and vision.
Well, I mean, it's big that, you know, they saw what I did at Gateway and turned around and, you know, just want to keep me in their car. More than anything, they felt like a real race team right after that race, and they felt like, you know, they could kind of have anybody kind of come in and have speed, right? And so that's been big. You know, the 77 you know, hadn't shown a lot of pace until this year, and that was their goal, you know, coming into this year, was to have more than one car have a lot of pace and, you know, be a real race team that has depth. And, you know, that's important from an organization standpoint. So for them to trust me to be in that role, to be able to add to their depth and have speed and, you know, kind of help lead the direction of where these cars go and how, you know, what areas they focus on, right? Like who they hire and who they need and what areas they need to work on. Because you're constantly adapting and growing, and you know, I'm sure we're going to hire a lot more people, you know, in the years to come, and that's just only going to help our knowledge and resources that we have in our building. And for me to be somewhat at the forefront of that direction of a whole company, they put a lot of faith in me, and that's something I don't take for granted.
The relationship that Hosovar and Smith built together in the Truck Series also has provided a foundation for this season at Spire.
You know, it definitely helps, right? You know, that we've had a relationship. I think it helped more than anything. We both knew we were going to be here halfway through the year last year. So we were competitors that would talk like teammates almost last year in the truck. So, you know, we'd walk down to each other and, you know, kind of see what each other were fighting or what they were doing. And then raced 1-2 at Homestead even late in the year. You know, I think I was well aware, everybody within the industry, that you know, the 1-2 were racing each other were going to be Spire drivers. So I think that was probably, you know, a cool moment, number one, for the race team to be motivated for this year, that's what they were watching on Friday, but also to, you know, just be able to help us, you know, get along and, you know, just already have not a working relationship, but just a little bit of talks of it.
It's cool to have another rookie in the building, and so we get to go through it together, I guess. But I have, like you said, two teammates over here and then two teammates on the track house side. So I have plenty of teammates, but we're just trying to put together a solid year and hopefully some solid runs. It's awesome to see Spire performing as they are, and Spire's going through a big change right now, and so it's awesome to see the momentum that they have and the gains that they have.
Smith also has a long-term deal with Trackhouse Racing and team owner Justin Marks. That essentially gives him the ability to lean on two Cup organizations.
Yeah, it's been great. I feel like I have plenty of resources and people to go to, but ultimately, it's still me that drives R71 Chevy. So I feel like I have enough to lean on, but just learning as we go. It's so cool to be a part of, and it's who I've always wanted to drive for. So it's awesome being under the Trackhouse banner, but we got a lot of work to do this year. I'm not sure. I feel like everyone just kind of growing up has their team, and for me, when I was growing up, Trackhouse wasn't around, and so just seeing what Justin has done in the short amount of time that he's done was super intriguing, and so I was just all about it. I like their brand. I like how they do things, and ultimately just how Justin treats his people. It's awesome, and happy to be a part of it. I feel like it's awesome to see a team mix it up some and do something different, other than I feel like a lot of the teams have always done the same thing year over year, and it's awesome to see a guy like Justin and Trackhouse kind of change it up some. Just the vibe that they bring is awesome.
NASCAR's spring short track swing will conclude this weekend at Martinsville Speedway, which will be an important stop for the 40th anniversary celebration of Hendrick Motorsports. The team will be heavily involved in pre-race ceremonies Sunday, with two grand marshals who have important ties to the track. Jeff Bodine scored Hendrick's first ever victory in the Cup Series on April 29, 1984, at Martinsville, staving off a possible shutdown of the team. Four-time series champion Jeff Gordon's final victory of his Cup career came at Martinsville in 2015, his last of nine victories there. In addition to those grand marshals, the pace car will be driven by team patriarch Rick Hendrick, who has endured all manner of triumphs at Martinsville, as well as a great tragedy there. October 24th will mark 20 years since a Hendrick Motorsports plane crashed en route to Martinsville, killing all 10 aboard, including Hendrick's son, brother, and nieces. With 28 Cup victories at Martinsville, the single track record for a NASCAR team, Hendrick Motorsports has a uniquely split relationship to the track. During a recent media event at the Hendrick Motorsports campus, Alan Gustafson, crew chief for Chase Elliott, explained the track's depth to the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, covers, you know, both ends of the spectrum, right? It's super polarizing when you go from the success on track, the key to the company's existence and attachment with the, you know, airplane crash and the tragedy and, yeah, the pain and suffering that came with that. So, right, that's the polarizing thing about Martinsville. And you know, regardless of when you go there, you never forget either, right? So I think that it does evolve a little bit, but that's one thing that I love about it is you go back to Martinsville. You know, I love authenticity and that, you know, I love, you know, people or tracks or whatever it is that, hey, this is who I am, this is what I do, and I'm going to stay true to that. And I love that about Martinsville, right? Because you go back there and it's a super authentic place. It's the way it's been. There is, you know, all the things that change and the PJ1 and the no PJ1 and this and that and the cars and the tires, but it's still Martinsville. So I think besides that polarizing relationship with Martinsville, the consistency and the, you know, the uniqueness and the authenticity of Martinsville stays the same.
In 2020, Chase Elliott's first win in Martinsville helped catapult him to his first Cup championship. It's among the peaks in a journey that had started nearly 10 years earlier, when Elliott was barely a teenager meeting Rick Hendrick. Elliott recalled those memories while standing in front of the Heritage Center, a 58,000-square-foot building filled with the memorabilia, memories, and muscle cars that have been a part of Rick Hendrick's life.
I remember the first time I'd ever been here. I mean, I had seen Rick around as a kid, but I can't say I ever spoke to him or had any reason to talk to him, you know, really. But he, when all those conversations started, I came up here one day after school. You know, Dad and I flew up here one afternoon, and Rick picked us up personally at the airport and drove us over here. And he just said he wanted to talk, you know, so he showed us around the building. We went inside his man cave in here and, you know, got to look at all his cars, and we toured every piece of the shop, went through the engine shop, went through what used to be the chassis shop and body shop over there, and then obviously walked through the original building up on the hill, which is where his office is, and just sat down and talked, you know, just like when you're talking to anybody. It was really, I just appreciated how personal it was, and I'm sure he's got much better things to do than tour a whatever I was, a sophomore in high school, or I don't even know that I was in high school, I can't remember, but around this facility, you know, I had no business doing that, and he had much better things to worry about, so I appreciated that, and that'll always stick with me. Yeah, it's been just a crazy road, crazy ride. I never would have thought things would have turned out like they did, honestly. I mean, at that point, I just really didn't know what to think about it, and I didn't know Rick any better than I know any of y'all at that point in time. But I'd also been around racing to know that it is not uncommon to have people talk high hopes and kind of get your hopes up and promise things that don't ever come to fruition. So I think I was just treading very cautiously as I was being that young, and obviously that was all I ever wanted to do, you know, and it was my dream. And I got a guy telling me he wants to help me fulfill that dream at however old I was, you know, 14, 15 years old. Like, that's just, I'd been around it enough to know that was kind of too good to be true, you know, to be honest. So I just kind of took it with a grain of salt and tried to keep my head down and make sure I just didn't get my hopes up too much and ultimately have them shattered. But, you know, Rick is just the kind of guy that everything he says, he does. And at that point in time, he just wanted to help. We didn't really know where the road was going to go, and he was upfront and honest about that. And he just said he wanted to help in whatever capacity that was at that point in time, and try to, you know, derive a plan that we could put in place to help progress me forward throughout my career and just see where things went. And that's exactly what he did.
Martinsville is the only track where all four active Hendrick drivers have won. Then a teenager from Charlotte, William Byron watched the team win as a fan from the Martinsville grandstands, and then got to experience a victory there with Hendrick in 2022.
Or I was there at the 07 race when Jeff and Jimmy were side by side. That was super fun. I was at the 2016 race when Jimmy advanced to the Final Four. Every time you went to a Martinsville race, and especially when I started to get in the garage and have access through family, you know, friends and people like that, I would always watch in turn one, and those cars would come by and hit the chip, and they would set so nicely on the brakes, and they would always be P1 or P2 off the truck. So you knew, like, Hendrick cars in Martinsville, that was what you wanted to drive. Anyone would say that, I think. I mean, you always have a shot to win in our cars there, for sure.
What's it mean to win there? I mean, what's that scene like for you in 22, mm-hmm. when you're first winner, you dominate, and it's a Hendrick?
Yeah, it kind of just felt like, I'd finally done something that was worthy of recognition, like at Hendrick. You know, that was to win a grandfather clock. That puts you in a list with a number of guys that, you know, have won a lot of races here. And I felt like that was one of my biggest wins, because it was a racetrack that's really important to this place. It is cool that all four of us have won there, because I think that shows the diversity within the teams and the ability to adapt. I mean, that's yeah, it's really important racetrack to all of us. I feel like we all know somewhat how to get around it, and it's just trying to figure that out with the next gen car. And some of us, you know, me and Kyle have won there in the next gen car, and the other two have won with the old car. So it's just trying to get all of us to give the right feedback and know what we need at that track.
Thanks for listening to the NASCAR and NBC podcast. Thanks again to Zach Catanzaretti for providing the audio and interviews from Richmond this weekend. You can check out Zach's work on the video version of the NASCAR and NBC podcast at the Motorsports on NBC YouTube page. As always, you can head to NBCSports.com/NASCAR for more coverage from colleagues Dustin Long and John Newby. I'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks again for listening.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.